In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And first thing we want to say, even though you're probably not listening to this on Thursday, hopefully you're not listening to this on Thursday.
Yeah, man, you should be out with, you know, family or friends or whoever.
But
at that
still,
point.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I hope that you are or have enjoyed your turkey. I hope you've enjoyed your mashed potatoes, your stuffing or dressing, depending on what you call it. Don't put it in the bird, people. And if it already was in the bird, don't eat it. And if you did, go to the ER. You probably have a stomach ailment now because of all the bacteria.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the rolls. I hope you didn't drink too much. Or maybe you did, and it made it better. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I know.
I hope you didn't bring up politics, which is going to be extremely hard to do this
year. Well, here's the thing, though. I've seen this meme going around on Facebook. Bring up the politics, because then you have less Christmas presents you have to buy.
That's terrible.
I mean,
if you want to go through all that crap, that's fine.
It could be fun.
That just makes maybe.
hopefully, you appropriately use the phrase "Okay, Boomer" at least once.
Possibly, dude. Speaking of Okay, Boomer, I found out about this. I heard this on the radio. I don't know if it's fully absolutely true.
You listen to the radio?
I do every once in a while.
Wow,
I know. So I heard it. I heard it at one point that there is a case, a situation where a person was fired for using the phrase "Okay, Boomer" to an older coworker.
Yeah,
age discrimination.
Yeah, that's what they're fighting on. Yeah. Which is hilarious because
isn't the millennial thing like calling out millennials? Isn't that exactly what that is?
But it's okay for them to do that because they're older. They're the elders. Yeah.
What kind of BS is that?
This is a problem I've dealt with my entire life. Is I've been told very many times that I'm disrespectful to my elders.
There's people that don't want to deal with younger people because they automatically think because they're millennials, they feel self-entitled or they feel like they're lazy or even though they're the ones that are in the majority of the workforce, they're the ones that are, especially in like retail environments.
Well, and again, as we discussed before in previous podcasts, it's their world now. It's not the boomer world anymore. But no, I've been accused of being disrespectful to elders many, many different times in my life.
Me too.
And what it comes down to is, no, I'm disrespectful to people that don't deserve my respect, regardless of what your age is. I don't care if you're older than me. I don't care if you're younger than me. I don't care if you're the same age as me. If you don't deserve my respect, I'm not going to give it to you.
I've been accused of that without actually doing anything different other than being the type of person I am. And I'm normally a pretty nice guy. I know that.
No, I can say this much. When I'm disrespectful, I do it on purpose.
Oh, okay.
For a point.
Yeah, see, I try to remain cordial and I still get accused of it.
Nah.
So the problem isn't me or you, I would consider.
In my case, I do like to stir the pot a bunch. That's just kind of my
well, that might be a thing.
Thank you, Mom. You taught me well. But anyway, today.
Moving right along.
Today, moving right along. Sorry, I get a Muppets flashback. Anyway, today we're talking about the thing that comes after Thanksgiving. For me, what comes after Thanksgiving, by the way, is Thanksgiving egg rolls.
Mm.
It's amazing. You take one part, whatever your measurements are, one part turkey, preferably the dark meat, just because people don't necessarily like to eat the dark meat in their sandwiches and whatnot, so put it in this.
Okay.
One part dark meat, one part mashed potatoes, one part stuffing / dressing. Again, don't put it in the bird. But one part of each of those. Mix it together in a big bowl. Get some egg roll wrappers.
I'm already liking where this is going. Egg rolls are bomb. But
wrap this stuff wrap this mixture, this turkey, mashed potato stuffing mixture in the egg roll wrapper.
Dude.
Fry it up.
Okay.
Take a can of the jellied cranberry sauce, buy an extra can, not one you're going to use, but
right,
an extra can.
Right.
Turn that into, you can find recipes online, turn that into a sweet and sour dipping sauce, a cranberry sweet and sour dipping sauce.
This is fantastic.
I've done this for the last, we have done this. I can't take full credit. I make the egg rolls. My wife makes the sauce.
That's fantastic.
We've done this for the past 3 or 4 years after Thanksgiving. It's our Black Friday tradition now to make these. And it's
Black Friday egg rolls.
It's so amazing because you get all the flavors of Thanksgiving in one bite.
Wow.
It's so good.
That's great.
Yes. Yes.
That's great.
So people, if you're listening and you have your leftovers still, try this. I also take whatever leftover mashed potatoes and make potato pancakes because that's kind of my thing.
Oh.
Ooh, I just realized, even though I'm having, I'm getting lucky and I'm getting chicken pot pies, homemade chicken pot pies the day before Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
So that'll be nice because we make them fairly regularly. Again, I say the we. My wife makes them fairly regularly. I give credit where credit is due. But I get to, hopefully there'll be enough leftover turkey that I can do some turkey pot pies the week after Thanksgiving. So more pot pies for me. They're individual pot pies, dude. Like,
oh,
seriously.
Like the little
4-inch
stofers or whatever.
Four inch. But there are homemade individual pot
that
pies.
That sounds fantastic.
They are. Why do you think I'm this size? I am fat because my wife is an amazing cook. Well, I I'm decent, but my wife is amazing. But anyway,
nice.
we're talking about Black Friday.
I was going to say, yeah, my tradition on Black Friday is to work for between 10 and 12 hours.
Yes, you get the long working thing. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about not just, you know, other people, their traditions for Black Friday is like setting up the tree. That's when you set up the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
For those people that understand that Christmas season should start the day after Thanksgiving, not like the day after Halloween or even for some people, September 1st.
Yeah.
This is the time that's normally done. You pull out the Christmas decorations that day. You set everything up. But it's become something else in the last, I don't know, what do you want to say, 30 years?
Yeah, a bit. It's been maybe 30 years? I'm not sure. I think it's actually kind of evolved now.
I think
it's actually evolved like in a much shorter time span.
Well, but you mentioned before as we were talking, doing our pre kind of show meeting, talking about what we were going to mm-hmm. talk about for the podcast. You mentioned the probably what would be one of the first, although it actually can even go back further. You mentioned the Tickle Me Elmo, which we'll touch on.
Yes,
as being one of the first kind of big issues of the Black Friday shopping. But I can give you another one that goes back even further. That goes back to the early 80s. Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Really?
Cabbage Patch
Dolls.
That
was a big deal.
I
mean, that would make sense.
That was a huge deal when it came out. There were people storming stores for it. But it wasn't as heavily covered in news as what Tickle Me Elmo was. And that was kind of the first really newsworthy Black Friday craziness. And that's what we're talking about is the kind of craziness that's become Black Friday as far as consumerism goes.
Yeah. There's a lot of rumors about the term Black Friday and what it means. I remember it not being called Black Friday.
No, it wasn't
until like maybe 10, 12 years ago they started calling it Black Friday.
I'd say about 15 years. Yeah, maybe.
So
maybe
I remember it just being now, called day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, day after Thanksgiving,
you know, or
sale.
Thanksgiving weekend. Sale.
And I've heard various rumors. The one that's most prevalent, at least in the management circles at the various retail locations, is that that Friday, the sales that happen on that Friday put the company in the black as far as...
That's the rumor I've heard. I know that makes sense.
For people who don't understand...
Most of the year, they're riding in the red until holiday season. And so that's the first day they end up in the black, and then it's practically all profit, which
and for
is why
people,
they start rocking deals back and forth.
For people who don't understand our reference to in the red and in the black, in the red being your business has not made as much money as it's had to put out for its workers.
It's under.
When you're in the red, you have less money. You haven't made enough money. When you're in the black, you've made more money than what you've had to put out.
Yep.
So for people who don't understand that terminology, there may be people who don't get it. I'm just trying to do that explanation there. But that's the explanation that was always given to me. The mm-hmm. There's also the other connotations of the craziness and the people that actually have legitimately died on the day after Thanksgiving as a result of these sales and how crazy it makes people to go and buy these things.
I don't know exactly where all that came from either. Like just as far as the general idea of it being like, you said it was like the Cabbage Patch Kids thing.
Cabbage Patch Kids is one of the ones I can think of as being one of the first major rushes.
Like one of the after Thanksgiving crazes, you know.
Well, and it wasn't necessarily after Thanksgiving. It was just a Christmas season craze.
Yeah.
It's news stories I remember reading about when I've read about Black Friday stuff before.
Yeah.
Read about kind of the history of how this time of year ramps itself up in sales.
That's fascinating.
And the Cabbage Patch Kids is one of the first ones that I heard about I read about that was like people went crazy when Cabbage Patch Kids came out to get those gifts for their kids and stuff for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind... One of the probably longest running horror franchise was, well, maybe not longest running, but one of the well-loved horror franchises that just recently had a reboot.
Child's Play?
Yeah. Wasn't she, in the original one, wasn't she out shopping at Christmas time to try to get her kid? No, it was his birthday. Wasn't Christmas. Sorry.
Oh, I haven't seen Child's Play since I was a kid, probably.
I actually just watched it about 3 or 4 months ago.
The original?
Yeah.
Cool.
It just happened to be on. My son wanted to watch it.
Oh, my goodness.
He ended up not really watching it. I sat there with my wife watching it and her sister and laughing the entire time because of how silly and stupid it was. And watching it going, this is really what people thought horror movies were in the 80s. God, this is horrible. Yep. This is not, there's nothing scary. There's no even the jump scares, you see them coming so far ahead that it's like, okay, he's about to hop out. Oh, he's not dead yet. Great. It's like, it was really rather boring for me, but I thought it was Christmas, but now thinking back, it was just his birthday. So that one doesn't count for this. But anyway,
yeah.
Cabbage Patch was huge. And then what we remember, of course, as we just referenced before, the Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo was huge. So this is back in the 90s. Tickle Me Elmo was the biggest. It was one of the biggest just kids' toys ever to come out. And I remember it was out for years. It was out for like the original Tickle Me Elmo was out for like a decade or something like that. Just a really long time.
You called it, by the way, on the year 96.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was 96.
I remembered that. Okay. So what happened was Tickle Me Elmo had been pushed and promoted for such a long time beforehand. And I remember that as one of the first legitimate day after Thanksgiving. This is the day it's going to drop. It's going to be at Walmart. It's going to be at Target. It's going to be whatever.
It's going to be everywhere. And it hadn't been on shelves at all.
No. Until then. Absolutely not. So, you know, after Walmart closes on Wednesday, they put Tickle Me Elmo on the shelf. They leave it there overnight. Thanksgiving happens. And then regular opening hours is when they open. I think they opened a few hours early.
Which at that point,
which is about normal in most stores.
And that's the thing is, at that point, most of those places were closed on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, itself has shifted.
The sale started Friday morning,
yep.
First thing in the morning.
Yep, exactly. So there were just scores of people outside of multiple Walmarts to get thing. Well, when you get a lot of people, sorry, I don't know if this is a... I don't know how to measure
thing.
This as far as whether or not it's just a perfect storm of incredible campaigning for this toy or just the sheer ruthlessness of the human condition and society in general when it comes down to, you know, me versus everyone else.
Well, there's also keeping up with the Joneses factor. You know, if you weren't the parent to secure this toy for your kid,
you were a terrible parent.
You weren't getting the thing that your kid needed. You know, the other kids are going to judge him because they don't have this thing.
Yeah.
The other parents are going to judge you. Oh, you didn't get the Tickle Me Elmo?
That's probably one of the first major year where in mass, because they severely underestimated
how much
of these things were going to be sold.
Maybe they wouldn't have, dude, if they had
manufactured it properly, they would have been able to accommodate to so many more people.
But remember,
they pushed it though that it was a limited release.
True, they did.
They pushed it as a limited release, and they didn't start continuing afterwards until everybody started losing their crap over not being able to get it for Christmas.
Yeah.
So they started having to push it afterwards. Like a few weeks later, more of them started coming out. But this Friday, this is one of the first Black Fridays.
Yeah.
I consider this one of the first official Black Fridays.
I can see that.
Because it caused basically, Walmart opened their stores. They opened their doors, and people stampeded in,
yep,
knocking over fixtures, people. Like,
it was
just
crazy.
Consideration be
and the
damned.
The news coverage on it, interestingly, the news coverage didn't happen until later, and you had to watch kind of grainy video of seeing what happened.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like nowadays.
People being interviewed while the stores are just run, like, and people actually, run
that,
amok
in the stores. I firmly believe this is why news channels now will cover the people that are sitting in line outside of places waiting on Black Friday.
Yeah.
And then, or now on Thanksgiving Day. And then, you have full coverage throughout all of what's going on in Black Friday because they don't want to miss this kind of event again.
Well, I mean,
which is sad that news works that way, but let's be honest. We know that news works that way. If they think that there's going to be something that they can report
kick and hard, then you're going to
they're going to be there
for that's the well, I mean, that's the subject matter of that time. Like, that's big. But anyways, what ended up happening was somebody actually got trampled to death.
Yeah.
There was at least one death that year. In a Walmart. I don't know what state. I can't remember where it was. There could have possibly even been multiple, but there was the first one was at a Walmart.
There was one that
and
was
heavily
publicized.
It was a woman who was trampled to death when the doors were busted in, when they opened up, trying to get a friggin' toy
for her kid.
That's just...
It's scary.
What the hell?
It's scary. And I mean, speaking from the you know, from being a parent, I've been very lucky because I don't have kids that aren't necessarily interested in all of the traditional toys that most kids are interested in.
Yeah.
They have their own specific interests that they like. And a lot of times it's actually quite hard to find toys for my kids because there's my oldest is so into Godzilla stuff that we've had to order a lot of stuff online from, of all places, China. You would think you'd get Godzilla toys from Japan. Nope. They're made in China.
Wow.
Yeah. Like everything else. So, it's, you know, I've been lucky to not necessarily have to have that swarming.
Yeah.
And have to go, okay, I have to get this specific gift. I've not ever been worried as a parent of keeping up with what other parents are doing because I lived a childhood where that never happened for me. I remember that, I think I was 15. Yeah. I think I was 15 when I finally got a Sega Genesis. Now, that would be 1995.
Yeah, I mean, it's been out for a few years at that point.
No, the thing is, the PlayStation 1, the original PlayStation, it was already out at that point.
So did you get the...
I got a Sega Genesis.
This is where the gamer in me comes out. Did you get the Genesis 2 or the 3?
I'm unsure. I would have to...
There were three different Genesis.
Yeah.
Right? I have
an original one at home. I don't know if it works.
Oh, okay.
But that's from... I picked that up years later.
Okay. Yeah, I have an original one with the headphone jack on it. And then there's the second one, which had the two buttons on the front, and it was more like streamlined squared.
Yeah.
And then the third one was really tiny.
Two. I had the second one.
You had... Honestly, like, the Genesis 3 was pretty much terrible.
And I had, like... I think it came with an X-Men game.
Oh, cool.
And then I got Alien 3.
Nice.
And I think the original Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
So, I mean, I had
the good one.
I had
the Genesis
games,
one.
Yeah, I had some games to be able to play. But, like, I got that when the PlayStation 1 was coming out because the original PlayStation, not even the PS1, but the original PlayStation, the original big gray brick.
Yeah.
Because my parents didn't necessarily have a lot of money to be able to work with. Mm-hmm. And so I had learned from my childhood that sometimes you don't get to have all the same things that your friends have. Sometimes families just can't do that. And so I've done what I can to kind of instill that in my kids that they need to be happy for the things that they personally have and not really worry about comparing to what their friends might have or what their, you know, what other people might get. And my kids are still spoiled as hell, but it's all about the stuff that they like, not necessarily keeping up with other kids, keeping up with other people, which is nice. I mean, and I still live that in my own life. I'm usually a generation behind on video game systems. I'm usually behind on, I think it was like 3 or 4 years after Blu-ray came out before I finally had a Blu-ray player that I could use for stuff. So, and even then, whenever I buy DVDs, I buy the DVD and Blu-ray copy, and then the digital copy for my kids because they can access it on their tablets.
There you go.
And you know, so I've always kind of been behind on those things, but I feel okay doing it because I didn't have parents that tried to do that, keep up with everybody else and go rush out and buy these things. And again, I've been able to do that as a parent, not necessarily rush out. Although I have been for the last 4 years, a Black Friday shopper.
So you've actually gone out on Black Friday.
I go out on Thursday night. I go out on Thanksgiving night.
I will never bring myself to do that.
Typically, I do it because there's usually one item in each Black Friday ad, that, like, for one of my kids, is a perfect item.
And that's the difference between me and you. You have children. That is the difference. I can't bring myself to do it.
I know, and I totally understand
it. I don't blame people for doing that, sort of.
No, it is insane.
I've got my opinion on this as far as Black Thursday is what I call it.
I can tell you, it's Walmart that I typically go to because I do most of my shopping at Walmart. Not promoting them or anything, just that's where I do all my shopping. It happens to be one of the closest places to me. I can get groceries there. I can get all the other stuff I need there. So I shop there often. I'm there at least two or three times a week, typically. More
Do
than
you
I
go
be.
When the doors open?
No. No, I usually
say,
go around.
Is, no.
Doors open around 5 o'clock typically for them.
I think that's total BS. That is the worst part of Black Thursday.
I go at 8 o'clock after I've had my Thanksgiving dinner, after I've had my pie, because I have to have my pie, because pie is important. And then after all that's done, everybody's relaxing and doing their own thing. I usually get there at about 8 o'clock because I'm not going after like the TVs.
Yeah.
I'm not typically going after the video game systems.
Right.
I'm not going after any of those things that I know are going to sell out immediately. And some of the things could probably wait until the next day or the day after or, you know, whatever. But again, there's like usually one item. There was one item last year that was a toy item. That I was worried because of the price of it. It's normally like an $80 toy item. It had been advertised as being $80. It was going to be $80 at some point, and they had it marked down to like $40. And it was a really awesome toy. In fact, I can describe it. It was for Jurassic World, one of the newer Jurassic Park movies. It was a Mosasaurus, which is the kind of whale-like. We would have called it, we would have known it as a plesiosaurus back in the day.
Oh, plesiosaur?
But it's the mosasaur, which is a bigger one, but it's basically like an underwater dinosaur.
Yeah, we're talking like Loch Ness, basically, right?
No, it's not a long neck style. It's more looks like a whale.
Oh, more set up like a whale.
So actually, it's not a plesiosaur. But anyway, mosasaurus, okay? Whale type. It's a good 2 foot toy, 2 foot long toy.
Okay.
The package also comes with a little diving pod for, and it's, I mean, it's like an, it's literally a submersible that multiple little people could sit in, little figurines could sit in. And they're like 4-inch figurines or 3 3/4, roughly G.I. Joe size. So you have this submersible, which is a good 10 inches by about 7 inches or so. And then you have a skeleton of what was the dinosaur in the Indoraptor? No, not Indoraptor. Whatever the dinosaur was in the first Jurassic World movie.
Okay, that I don't know. I haven't seen Jurassic World.
My child would know. But it had the skeleton of that dinosaur.
Yeah.
As part of this set, so this set had all three of those things in there for $40.
Okay.
So it's like a massive set for. You know, those are some big dinosaurs. Those are some big toys. So I picked that one up. I went there to get that one because, again, for $40, that was a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Of course, ended up that through the next 2 weeks or so, I was in Walmart all the time doing my normal shopping. 2 weeks later, there were still like three of them on the shelf at the $40 price. So I didn't necessarily need to be there to get it then, but I was worried because that was going to be like kind of one of the linchpin presents for him.
So think about that. Think about that. No, where your mindset was because of how it was pushed.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing is that's part of the reason why people go is because they are too worried about it's a older generation version of FOMO. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much the older generation's FOMO response. They won't admit thing.
No, yeah, well, that's what FOMO does. It drives down your credit score. That's what FOMO does to put you in debt. Like, that's what that is.
I know this year there's for the same child, because that child, things always happen this way for that child. For the same child, there is an item that is up at the on the Black Friday sale that I am going again on Thursday night. I'm going out Thanksgiving night to get this single item for this child.
Yeah.
Now,
I've got a question for you. Have you ever been able to go out and get and not be able to get these things sought after?
No, I've been lucky enough in the times that I've gone to do the sales, I've gotten everything that I've been after.
Well, that's good.
But I also do calculation with it. Mm-hmm. There are some things that, depending on certain sales, you can buy online beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
There are some sales. Some places start sales a week early, so you can buy the stuff a week early.
That's where, where I currently work, they have somewhat of a VIP event.
That's early.
They do for like 2 hours on, like I actually worked it yesterday. It's two okay. hours on the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
And the VIPs and get to come in.
It's a short period of time where you can come in and basically get a jump on those Black Friday prices on a lot of the major items.
I know that
before Black Friday kicks in.
There's a few like Walmart. There's items on the Walmart Black Friday ad mm-hmm. that. Starting on Saturday night, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. you were able to order those items,
mm-hmm.
but they wouldn't be delivered until the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You could order them online and have them delivered on Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
So you get them for the price that they're advertised for, right?
Yeah, some of them. Not all of the items, the doorbuster items, the stuff mm-hmm. that's like typically like the, you know, the $100 TVs, the $150, you know, smart TVs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Those you have to be at the store to get.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other stuff they have made available for like a good example would be GameStop.
Yes.
GameStop was offering some of the same deals on video game systems that Walmart and Target and Kohl's, all these other places that sell
yeah.
that kind of stuff. They're offering roughly the same deals on the video game systems,
mm-hmm.
but they offered you actually with GameStop, it was interesting. They offered you the ability to pay for them on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you set up store pickup for a store that you was close to you or that you knew,
mm-hmm.
you could actually go pick them up the next day. And then on Sunday, they started their sale. Sunday morning, they started their sale on the stuff. Problem is, it's a first come, first serve.
Right.
But if you had ordered it the Saturday night previous, you would have it waiting for you on Sunday to be able to pick up.
Cool.
So there's many ways that they've gotten around having to do some of the rush
mm-hmm.
on some of the things,
mm-hmm.
but there are some items that are just there. Like one of the things that I know from looking at the Walmart Black Friday ad, every year they have a ton of DVDs that go down in all these various price points, as low as $1.96 a DVD.
Yeah.
And some of them up, some of them around $10, $12, but they are way lower than what their normal price point would be.
Yeah, totally.
They do the same with video games. They have video games as low as brand new games as low as $15, all the way up to $25. And their games, the $25 games are games that are normally like $40-$50, brand new games.
Yep.
And you're getting them for the lower price. Those you cannot get until the 5:00 opening on Thursday night. You can't order those ones online. Those are the kind of things that you actually have to be in the store. And more importantly, you have to sift through all of the crap because they bring out these pallets that have the movies on them
mm-hmm.
and there's no order to them. Believe me, what going and checking out the movies in these pallets to try to look for decent movies or stuff that, again, for my kids that they would like or stuff that I would like to have, because we've discussed before, I'm a packaging whore. I'm not the guy who downloads movies or I do have a lot of streaming services. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if it's a movie I love, I want the movie.
Yeah.
I want the physical disc. The other thing I like about it
I'm about that with video games, man. I want the physical copy.
And actually, I was wondering about that because I think this is a generational thing.
Because
I was talking to my sister-in-law about video games that she might own for different systems, and the majority that she has are stuff that she's bought online and downloaded directly to her system,
mm-hmm.
and not physical copies. She has like 4 or 5 physical games for say one system, but she has like 40 games that's saved on her system.
Which,
and it's
cool. There's nothing wrong with it, but at the same time, what happens if that system crashes?
Yeah.
Like, I could take a hard copy of a game, put it in another system, be able to use it.
I mean, if a system crashes, then you can, typically because of the way some of the things are set up, you can re-download them again to a new system.
Yeah, but you have to have an account that's valid.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. This is the part that gets me. If I have a physical copy, I don't have to worry about an account.
Yeah.
I can just pop that game into another system and start playing.
Well,
not really a big deal.
My other thought is, we come from a time period where it was like, you could borrow other people's games.
You could borrow, you could rent.
Yeah. My thought was like, I borrowed so many games from people to try out games before I bought them myself.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that in this more digital age of things? I just don't get it. But anyway, mm-hmm. you have to be able to sift through all of that stuff to be able to find it. So me walking in there and seeing these things packaged up like that, these pallets, and from all my Blockbuster history, nothing is alphabetized. And it drives me absolutely insane. And yes, people listening who have never been to my house before, I have two DVD setups in my house. Two DVD setups. One is upstairs in my loft kind of James room.
James room.
Yeah, I don't like the term man cave, as I've said before. It's too, it's misogynistic and sexist. It's the James room. It's the loft.
Right.
It's the awesome place. You've only seen pictures. I can't wait till you actually get to see it.
It looks great. It looks great.
I have all of the movies up there are completely alphabetized.
Okay.
And they have to be, because I would be going crazy if they weren't.
Right.
We also have movies downstairs by our downstairs TV, by the main TV of the house.
Uh-huh.
Those ones are actually put into categories and not alphabetized, because they are only specific films. So we have all of our comic book movies are down there.
Uh-huh.
All of our Star Wars movies are down there. And the comic book movies are set, all of them are set together, but they're separated by, you have the Marvel movies, then you have the DC movies, then you have the other comic book movies.
Right.
You have all the Star Wars movies. Now, the Star Wars movies are in order. Not alphabetical, but in proper order. including Rogue One sits in between Episode 3 and Episode 4.
You have it in viewing order. That's great.
No, I don't have it in viewing order. I have it in order of when it happens, not in viewing order.
Oh, okay. Chronological.
If it's in viewing order, then Rogue One would have to sit behind Episode 4, and 1, 2, and 3 would have to sit behind Episode 5.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, no, it's in chronological order when the things events actually happen.
Right.
The only one I don't have is the Solo movie, because I wasn't that interested in buying it. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. But we have all the Harry Potter movies
right
in order. And I will admit that setup is more my wife's setup for movies. Those are the ones that she likes to watch.
Okay.
And so she set them up how she wanted them to kind of be set up. And I'm not worried about it, because it's more for her access than anything else. She's the one who watches the movies even more than I do.
Okay.
The only ones I was a stickler on was the Star Wars movies being in order. And, well, kind of a stickler on, I put the Marvel movies in order, too. Timeline order.
Okay.
Just because,
you know. Yeah, makes
sense. I don't have all the Marvel movies. I will at some point. Although, if you get Disney Plus, I guess, you don't even need to purchase all the Marvel movies.
No.
But anyway, but yeah, not having them in any kind of order kind of drives me crazy at the Walmart thing.
I get
it. But those are also there for a week or two later. The problem is the really good deals do get swept up in the first 2 days of it. And I think that's why you have the rush.
The most popular ones, I would say. But
that's why you have the rush.
I mean, I personally would, you know what? I have a lot to say about this.
Well, then tell you what we'll do.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
And when we come back, Mike is going to have his lot to say about this.
Yes.
All right. See you in a few.
All right.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the little break. We're here talking still about Black Friday, or as Mike has dubbed it, also Black Thursday.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's one of my first problems that I have with this, is the fact that people had to... The fact that retail culture has gone so far to the point that they have to skirt, like, how do we beat the fact that all these Black Friday deals are happening? Come out with them earlier. And it's gotten earlier and earlier and earlier. Yeah. It used to be midnight openings. Like, first it was regular store opening times, and then they brought it to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And then they brought it to 3 a.m. And then they brought it to 2 a.m. And then midnight. And then earlier. 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and now it's as early as 5 or 4 o'clock.
There's some places
dinner time.
There's some places. GameStop is an example. They're open at 3.
That's insane.
Yeah.
3 on Thursday. That's like, here, let's just go ahead and completely interrupt the reason why you have Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
In the first place, that's how, I mean, you know. So
what's more
let's
important?
Let's take away you hanging out with family. Let's take away the dinner time that you're going to have. You spend all day cooking a turkey in order to get out the door so the rest of the family can eat and you could go buy a TV.
This is why
what the hell is that?
This is why the Grinch went and did his thing. Is because he was seeing this the consumerism
I'm starting
culture.
To understand.
No, he was seeing the consumerism culture, and he was like, "Y'all ain't going to celebrate Christmas if you ain't got your stuff." Well, they did, so it restored his faith in humanity.
Humanity.
Humanity? But anyway, it was short in space. Hey, we're getting into the season, and I will say the Grinch has always been my favorite Christmas-related character.
Yeah.
I love the Grinch.
You know there's all of the adults love the Grinch.
Well, no, I've loved the Grinch.
They get it.
I've loved the Grinch since I was a kid.
Well, the Grinch has always been kind of cool. You know what it is, man? He's like kind of a counterculture icon.
Well, there's,
but then
there's
the parents
that.
Kind of get the Grinch because they're just like, you know that he's a character that harbors all that disdain for the holiday culture when it comes to shopping.
There's that about it. But the counterculture thing is one part of it. But the other part was, dude was just trying to make people actually show love because they loved people, not because it was about getting something out of the deal. And when
he wanted to stop Christmas because basically he hated the Who's.
Well, no, well, hold on. Which version are you talking about?
The original.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I hated them. You're right.
Now, Carrie's Grinch made it a consumerism thing. But it wasn't until Carrie's Grinch that consumerism was part of the game.
Please stop bringing that up. There's only one good thing that came out of Jim Carrey's Grinch movie.
What?
Taylor Momsen. I won't watch that movie. I won't let it be aired around me. I can't stand it. Give me the animated. I want to hear the voice.
I want to hear the voice of
Tony the Tiger singing. All right, that's what I want to hear.
I will not argue with that. That is absolutely valid.
I'm just saying. I want to see the original
and any
of the collection
you're
things.
On
I get
for that one.
Even the new animated film that came out. Well, computer animated film that came out with Benedict Cumberbatch. He plays the Grinch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Was somewhat interesting to me to have him play it. But again, they add too much backstory. They try to add too much reasoning. I don't care. I want to see the Grinch the way that it was written.
That's
how you
expand on a short story, man. But
let it be short. Short was better. The key to good communication is brevity. I wish I knew how to do that, but still. Anyway. No, you're right. They have been moving it forward and forward again. The sales that I told you about that are happening as early as the Sunday before. The Sunday thing that you participated in for VIP people happening the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So
I can get that because now that beats it to me. That doing the weekend before Black Friday weekend to get a few stores to get ahead of that culture, to get ahead of all that kind of stuff makes perfect sense to me because at least you're reserving it for a weekend.
Yeah.
People can spend their vacation time if they have it.
Well,
people can go to work and not worry about major dropout sales that cause stampedes of people.
And see, the point of these holidays...
You're not interrupting Thanksgiving, man.
The point of these holidays is supposed to be to try to connect and do things with your family.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're watching movies that are about Christmas or Thanksgiving, it always comes down to being about connecting with your family and really understanding your family. And it's not about being somewhere shopping and getting those things. I mean, sometimes it's about finding out who your family is and where your family is, but still, it's about family. That's supposed to be the whole point of it.
It's about that. Like,
and especially Thanksgiving. I see your issue, and which is why I go out at 8 o'clock at night afterwards if I'm going to go get anything. The holiday I look forward to every year is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the reason I look forward to Thanksgiving, this is a holiday that is literally completely centered around food. That's the whole point, is food. At Christmas, there's the gifts. Food is there, but food is not the focus of the holiday. 4th of July, you get your hot dogs, some cotton candy maybe, beer and shotguns, whatever. the point is not necessarily the food.
Thanksgiving fireworks.
There's other things involved. Every other holiday, with maybe the exception, not even Easter's about some dumb bunny, which is a whole nother story. But anyway, Thanksgiving, forgetting about the whole roots of how Thanksgiving was made into a holiday and the lie that we're told about the natives and whatnot, the way it is now, the way it's envisioned now, this is the holiday completely about food. The whole point is, let's sit and eat and be thankful, but it's about food. People only do this for the food.
But they're people are doing it for the food. They're doing it for food,
like you can have
family, or even if you're bringing somebody over from,
like
you know,
can have
it. Whatever,
you can have a Christmas get together and not necessarily have to have food. If you don't have presents or something, it's a little weird. But you don't have to have food for Thanksgiving. The whole point is to go and have food. There's nothing else involved with it. It's all about, because people don't come over to family's houses at Thanksgiving,
right?
And watch the Thanksgiving parade because that's in the morning.
Right.
You're watching that while you're making the food. If you're an idiot who doesn't know how to cook your turkey, you're watching that while you put your turkey into the oven way too early for it to sit there for like 7 or 8 hours and be destroyed. The point being,
yeah,
there's nothing else. Even the football that happens, there's multiple football games, but that's basically so your dad and your uncles can go sit in the other room and drink beer and have something to cuss at instead of cussing at the rest of the family.
No,
but,
yeah.
I mean, the point is the food.
Thanksgiving is a time to sit grandpa in front of the television while the football game's running, yes, eat turkey and talk politics to make sure that you save money on Christmas. That's why you do it.
But the point is the food. Even at the NFL games.
Right.
The winner of the NFL games, they give them turkey legs and they eat turkey legs live on air.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So it's about the food, people.
Now, and the football I think the reason why the football games exist in general is so that you can create the jealousy for the turducken that's on the TV screen during the breaks. John Madden's turducken. I want to make that happen every single year, and I've never had the opportunity to do that, damn it.
I will admit, I especially for somebody like me, who believes that the pinnacle of being human, the pinnacle of being at the top of the food chain,
yeah,
pinnacle of being the masters of this planet, is the ability to eat multiple animals at once.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. I've made that secret sandwich at McDonald's, where you have a McDouble and a McChicken.
The one that we kind of can't say.
We shouldn't say the name of. All you have to do is add bacon to that. You have three animals at once. That's a beautiful thing. Just add
and
bacon.
You can do that because
yes,
you can get the bacon McDouble and
yes,
do the
you
same
can
thing.
Three
you know
animals
what I do
at once.
I like to do the spicy McChicken one.
I'm not a big fan of the spicy McChicken, but that's...
I like the spicy McChicken. The spicy McChicken at least offsets the mayonnaise because they glob the mayonnaise on that sucker.
Yeah,
you can request it with no mayonnaise, but then it's dry as a bone.
Dude, you're white. Why don't you like mayonnaise? That's like a white thing. We're supposed to like mayonnaise.
Quarter Mexican, bro. Spicy chicken, man.
I'm 100% white. So
super white.
Gotta have that mayo. yes, super white.
I think I shared a meme the other day. It was hilarious. It was just a picture of like this, you know, stock white family at the dinner. And it says, man, this turkey's got quite a kick to it. I think it's like, this turkey's got quite a kick to it, John. What did you do? He goes, I added a little bit of salt this time or something like that. It's so dumb.
It's not surprising. anyway. Damn, I lost my train of thought.
We were talking about Black Friday,
wow,
like chaos.
The turducken. That's what we were talking about.
Well, yeah, we
I
just
have
kept
never,
going. But
I have never
yeah
had the beauty of the turducken either. And to me, that's a beautiful thing to have multiple animals at once like that. Not
I
a fan
make
of duck,
that happen.
Though.
I want to try it. What?
Not a fan of duck, though, personally. I've only had it a few times, and I'm not
really
a fan.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. There's two other animals you could choose from all in one package.
Well, no, I'd have to eat all three. You'd have to have all three. The whole point of
who knows whether or not the meats may mix, man. You got seasonings and things going on, yeah.
But
hell, the duck might even keep the turkey moist just in case.
Okay. Well, I know how to keep the turkey moist, but that's all.
Well, yeah, but there's so much extra work that goes into that. Who knows? Maybe a duck will solve the problem.
But it's
I have no idea. I've never tried it.
It's okay. I'm going to tell you right now the work that I do. The work that I do to make to maintain the moisture in the meat of my turkey. As weird as this all sounds. The work that I do to make that happen is a lot less work than to cut open the turkey, cut open the duck, insert a duck inside or insert a chicken inside the duck, and then insert that inside of the turkey. That's a lot more work than brining the turkey, man.
Did you ever see have you ever watched Epic Mealtime?
Maybe.
Okay. Epic Mealtime is fantastic. It's just, you know, these guys make like full, like, 20-pound candy bars and stuff where they actually make them from scratch. They make the whole entire thing.
Okay, I've not seen it, but I've heard
of
this.
So there was a five animal inside animal they did. Five. Ready? Cornish game hen.
Okay, it's basically
chicken,
a chicken.
Duck, turkey, pig, wrapped in bacon, made with their own homemade bourbon barbecue sauce, glazed, and barbecued. The thing was like a 15,000-calorie meal or something crazy like that.
Wow.
It is, but when you see it, when you watch it, when you watch them make it, like, when we're done with this podcast today, I'm going to march you into the living room, and we're going to turn on YouTube. You're going to see this thing.
Okay.
It is when Epic Mealtime completely lives up to the name.
Okay.
When you're talking like this, this puts the turducken to shame. I mean, the thing's, it's a pig covered in bacon. With the dude, it's,
you got me sold,
see this.
You got me sold with a pig covered in bacon because that's just I'm done.
But
I'm
then
good.
Filled with everything else, it's ridiculous when you see it.
Because I've, I, yeah, we'll have.
That is the most carnivorous thing I've seen in a while.
Mental notes, have to have a more in-depth food discussion on various meat products that we would like to try at some point or another.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, the point being, Thanksgiving is about dinner. Thanksgiving is about the food. And to break us away, I'm getting back on topic here.
Yeah, I like
to
it.
To break us away from our meal, our attempt to eat the meal, I was talking to my wife about it and saying that the doors opened at 5 for the Black Thursday event.
Yeah.
I'll take your naming
for it. Yeah, I've been calling it Black
Thursday.
And she
said, well, why don't we just have Thanksgiving dinner at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? I'm like, that's not dinner.
That's not dinner. That's lunch.
That's not dinner time.
Yeah, my dinner time.
My dinner happens at for Thanksgiving. I push it down. Normally, I have dinner between 6 and 7 o'clock at night on a normal night. Thanksgiving, I'll do between 5 and 6. Between 5 and 6.
Yeah,
but that's I'm not doing it any earlier than that because it's lunchtime. It's not dinner time.
Exactly.
I'm having dinner. I want to have my freaking
fully
dinner.
Agree. Family's supposed to go hang out. See, here's the thing. It takes away from being able to catch up with people you haven't seen in, like, probably a year.
Well, I mean, I can say, personally, I don't invite those people.
And possibly many other people that you haven't seen on a regular basis, if you happen to do that.
I just want to eat the meal. I put a lot of preparation into the turkey.
I get it.
I look forward to this every year, to be able to sit and have all of those things together. Yes, I can make turkey at any other time of the year that I want to. Okay? But here's the thing. If you do a thing too often, it doesn't hold the same reverence as if you do it on select occasions.
Yeah.
I'm just showing my consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I see the consistency in this and not having turkey all the time, so that when you do have turkey, it's a big, major thing.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, certain other things that you might do them at big major times instead of every single time.
Right.
Throwback to our 4th of July podcast.
Right.
Just so you know, I'm consistent with this. At least I'm not being a hypocrite about these things. But that's how I feel. I only want turkey a certain time of year because that's when it means something and it's a great meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to sit and enjoy it, let it settle, have some pie. And then, after that's all in there, maybe we can see about going to the store. Maybe. But even then, why can't they just make it the same way it was before, where they didn't start doing it till Friday? Why? Money. It all comes down to...
Yeah, it comes down to money.
Let's make the money.
Yeah. And, well, here's... All right. There's so much... Man, I could go off on just the issues, the moral and ethical principles I think that this personally violates for so many people.
Yeah.
But it's a moot point because a lot of these companies don't care about that anyway. Ethics doesn't make ethics doesn't take part in money making.
Ethics don't pay the bills.
Right.
Ethics don't get the Walton family another yacht.
I get it. You know, but
because if it did, they'd be the most ethical company around.
Look, man, like, I would, but it's still, like, something that I got to vent my frustration about. Maybe if there's enough of a public dissent for this, maybe it'll stop, but at the same time.
Never.
Like.
Because what it comes down to is, no matter what we can do for the public dissent, no matter how much we may see some activism in, say, the newer generations.
Yeah.
What it comes down to is the consumerism fad is never going to fade away.
True.
This is especially as long as we are in a capitalist society. We're looking at consumerism. I know I threw the capitalist word out there and everybody's going to be all, but when we're in this consumer society, people want to get these new things. They're trained to want the new things. Things are made so that people want the new things. Think about this.
We see revival.
We'll use video games as the example because it's such a big thing for you. I know a decent amount about video games.
Yeah.
We've seen the revival of retro video gaming,
mm-hmm.
of retro systems, and what was it, last year or the year before, they had the Super NES system that you could buy the little box that had all the games loaded onto it already.
Yeah, the SNES Classic.
Yeah.
I have it. Yeah, I love it.
That's why I'm using it as an example.
Yeah.
There is an audience to pander to the retro gaming stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it is way easier now to make games within that that framework.
Totally. There's actually there's an entire culture dedicated to
making
8 and 16 new games, for old systems. Yeah. It's great.
But the thing is, as much as there is a culture for that, as much as there is a market for that, the market for the newer, more lifelike, better rendered. I mean, some of these older games, they were fun to play and fun to play more than once.
Yeah.
Some of these newer games, though, are giving so much more of an immersive feel that people are looking for. As with everything in culture, as it shifts and changes, people are always going to want the newest thing because they're going to want to shift with the culture. And anything that doesn't represent that new thing is either a step backwards or stagnation. And nobody wants that.
I have a question,
yes,
actually,
please,
about this stuff. Because here's the thing, man. My experience has come down to I've been a retail worker for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah.
And I have seen a lot of very surprising situations that you see. It's really funny. I tend to notice, and I'm not trying to be negative about any of this stuff. This is a result of my insertion into this culture as essentially somewhat of a bystander for the last two decades.
Yeah.
I have seen a slight breakdown of the possibility of consideration that happens during the holiday season.
So you're saying
gets so bad that it starts to permeate the rest of the year.
So you're commenting on the decorum of people?
Yes.
People's decorum during that time, and you think that it not only is effective during the holiday season, but then it continues forward. I think.
Well, yeah, but let me explain this a little bit.
Please.
I used to work at Fry's Electronics, which is if you don't know what it is, I'm surprised you're able to listen to podcasts and not know what that store is.
it's a big electronics
retailer.
It's a
big electronics store. Huge.
Computers.
Huge retailer. In more recent years, it's been...
TVs, DVDs.
Its inventory has been declining. And I'm not going to make any major commentary on that, but I've seen...
Whatever.
I was working at that store when
it was the heyday
kind of stuff, man. It was about 10.
Would you say for some people
ago.
it's a relative store to something like Best Buy?
Yeah, Best Buy and Fry's have been around for the same amount of time, but the difference between Fry's and Best Buy is that Best Buy is much more retail environment-esque.
Whereas,
when you walk in, you've got the carpets. Best Buy has got that Walmart vibe.
Fry's has more of a warehousey vibe.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
Okay.
It looks like a warehouse that people put a bunch of shelves in and there's just computer stuff everywhere.
Okay.
Right. And there's, but I will say this, I have seen a rapid decline in the last year of inventory in those stores. Empty shelves everywhere.
Well,
and
that goes to the whole problem nowadays with maintaining brick and mortar as opposed to maintaining online presence. It's so much easier to have online stores, and then you have the giant conglomerate.
They did not, from what I can see from Fry's, there is a severe difference in their online presence as opposed to Best Buy.
Well, and what it comes down to is,
and it also kind of speaks about commissioned sales.
There are other people that are probably
that market.
Oh, it's a commission sales place.
Fry's is a commission sales place.
There's that involved,
and it's tough to maintain the market because the customer rapport starts to disappear as soon as you start concentrating on online markets.
Yeah,
because you're taking away the personality of this.
Well, I know you've experienced this. I know you've experienced this in your current job. People will come into your job, ask you a whole bunch of tech questions about multiple products,
walk right out and buy it on Amazon or something.
$10-$15 cheaper on the conglomerate of Amazon.
I'm not going to represent
that's a part of the cultural shift.
I like the place. It's why I work there, but I'm not going to represent it here.
And actually that's kind of one of the things is this is very much a cultural shift.
Yeah.
In that you have all of these online retailers now.
Yeah.
If Fry's was selling parts and equipment pieces for people to work on electronics themselves,
yeah,
on top of the actual electronic pieces themselves, people are more inclined at this point in time to order those things on an online basis. And what's funny about that is, we think about this culture currently as being as having an immediacy for things. They want things immediately and now.
Right.
And usually the best way to get something immediately and now is to go to a physical brick and mortar and get it.
Yeah.
However, this is one of those places where it's like an opportunity cost situation, mm-hmm, where if they can get it in 2 days shipping, to them, free 2 days shipping is...
If you really need it immediately now, you can literally pay to have it dropped off for you the day that you order it.
On some items, yes, you could.
Yeah.
And they are the culture now is far more willing, even if it's just the 2 day free shipping, they're far more willing to wait the 2 days for it to be brought directly to them.
Yeah.
Than to go to the store and have to go get it. That's the opportunity cost that they have there is like, no, it's better for me it's better to wait those 2 days. Those 2 days are worth, mm-hmm, it. So I don't have to go out and try to get this thing in that situation. And I think that's, again, this is a generational thing. This is a culture, mm-hmm, thing. I'm wrong. It's not a generational thing. It's a culture thing that's changing. I think the older generations may have influenced some of the culture and say somebody like me who prefers to be able to go to a place and pick it up myself,
yep,
as opposed to order it online.
Mm-hmm.
But just because the former generations put that culture into me, mm-hmm, doesn't mean that it's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. I really think it is a cultural thing because there's people that are of the boomer generation, of the Gen X generation, mm-hmm, that are falling into this same new cultural category of, oh, if I can order it offline, it'll be here in 2 days. I don't need to go out and do anything about it. So I'll just order it and have it sent to me.
Yeah.
It's a full cultural shift of, it doesn't become immediacy anymore. It becomes convenience.
Yes.
And okay, the convenience is the biggest issue.
So check this out. That is a point that I was going to get to. That was one thing I was going to mention.
Yeah.
And looking at okay. So one of the things I wanted to preface this with, yeah, first before we went off on before we went down that road,
yeah,
is I have seen some crazy crap happen in retail environments in the time that I've worked them.
Yeah.
I have seen, especially around this time.
Around this time of year.
Around this time of year, I have seen fist fights between customers in a line. I have seen employees get harassed or assaulted in these, harassed, threatened, assaulted, so on and so forth, over frivolous, dumb things that just because it happens to save you a few bucks.
Oh yeah.
You are willing to sacrifice, you know, and a stranger or not, but you're willing to sacrifice somebody else's, you know, you're willing to get yourself or somebody else hurt for it.
Yeah.
And that ruthlessness.
That kind of single-mindedness, that selfishness.
Yeah, it's very selfish. It's very ruthless. And I mean those in the most negative context that I possibly can. None of that behavior is worth any amount of money that you're gonna save on any of this crap.
Just a weird offshoot. You know, Key and Peele, right?
Yes.
The comedians are no longer really doing comedy. Peele just wants to be a director now, and Key wants to become more of a dramatic actor, which is nice for him.
Yeah.
But apparently,
both of them doing it right.
Apparently, Key, one of his main like insults to somebody, mm-hmm, is to call them selfish, because in his mind, that's like the worst thing you could possibly be.
That's great.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I believe.
No.
I
mean, there's. Not at all.
There's certain points where a little bit of selfishness can be self-preservation and can be good, but overall selfishness is it's a toxic thing.
Selfishness for the sake of your own mental health is one thing.
Yeah, but overall selfishness is
ruthless
toxic.
Ruthless selfishness in the middle of an environment like that is an entirely different deal.
And again, there's the other word I'll throw out: entitled.
Entitlement, absolutely.
And that's where you do see the height of this.
That's
and
funny.
I've
heard the term entitled as used as an insult a lot of the time, calling it out by boomers talking about millennials.
Which is funny.
I'm telling you right now, as somebody who technically, as a Xennial and someone who fits on the younger spectrum of Xennials, so kind of technically
millennial,
fits within the millennial generation, yeah, I have seen far more entitlement from that side of the aisle than I've seen from millennials by a long shot.
This I can talk to. Like I told you when we were in our pre-show meeting that my Black Friday experiences as a retail worker has never been any bad ones, but the areas that I worked in retail wouldn't have necessarily experienced Black Friday stuff. I mean, I worked at Home Depot for many years, but I worked in Millworks, which is doors and windows, flooring, and blinds and wallpaper.
Cool.
So those are areas that are not on the Black Friday ads.
Mm-hmm.
So hardware was probably crazy. Mm-hmm. Certain areas of garden, because they dealt with all of the holiday stuff, all of the Christmas stuff.
Yep.
Those would get a little crazy. My areas of the store never really got that crazy because nobody's buying doors and windows on Black Friday. Nobody's buying blinds on Black Friday.
They're not thinking about that. They're going and getting video games. They're getting computer parts. They're getting toys.
And Home Depot, they were getting tools.
The new television set,
They were getting tools.
It was all about tools
for the new power drill.
Totally.
Yeah, that's almost everything about
the little things you could pack in a box. Nobody's going to put a door in a box.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get that. I get that completely.
Now, so my experience is as a retail associate, not very big for Black Friday, but entitlement...
Yeah,
I can say the most entitled people I worked with or I dealt with while working were typically people that were in the older boomer generation.
Yeah.
And they expected it. They expected like basically everything to be exactly how they wanted it to be all the time.
You ever deal with people that threw out the term entitled to insult somebody because they were the one that was being entitled about something?
Yes, I dealt with that
in
too.
In contradictory terms, constantly, I find that funny. My point that I'm getting at, to move forward, you mentioned the warehouse online sales market, and I've mentioned essentially the dangers of the retail market at this time.
Yeah,
one of the things that I am curious about is, I want to ask the question: is this a generational thing? Are we going to see this more in younger boomers and older Gen Xers, because younger Gen Xers started working the retail market, and older millennials are hitting their career spanning time in the retail environment. The retail market at this point right now is basically what the coal job market would have been back in the day, the assembly line stuff. This is the stuff that would have been
manufacturing.
This is the stuff that would have – this is the majority job. This is where the culture is right now, and it is starting already to shift away from it. Are you going to see this same craze and this same ruthlessness happen in millennials that start getting out of that retail market and move into the consumer area?
I think so. I think we're looking at another generation or two before we are able to get some kind of a change in this, and let me explain why.
Okay. I have my explanation as to the possibility of why we may be going the other direction.
I think it's still another generation or two off, and here's why. The millennials that are in these jobs and maybe getting out of these jobs, they're still going to be – they've still grown up and seen some of that entitlement that they get out of the Gen Xers – that the Gen Xers and boomers are having.
Okay.
There's some of them that are going to rebel against it and not want to be that way because of all their years of experience. Like I can say for me, from my years of experience in retail, which is a little less than yours, but started around the same time that yours started.
Right.
I've just been out of it longer than you have.
Right.
Because you're still in it and I'm not.
Right.
But I can say from my experience, what it's taught me to do is I'm very, very patient and very easygoing when I'm at places.
Uh-huh.
I ask questions, and if they don't have answers, I'm like, okay, can you get an answer? You can't? All right. Even if something frustrates me, I'll get frustrated, and I'll tell them, look, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the situation. The situation frustrates me. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm not coming after you personally. I know you're doing what you can. You have all the tools that you have. You've used them all. You still can't help me out. It sucks. It pisses me off. I try to make it clear to the people because I don't want – I've been there on the receiving end of people attacking the worker. I've been attacked so many times as a worker. I mean, when we were at Blockbuster, I had VHS movies thrown at me. I had money thrown at me. I had cards thrown at me. I mean –
Could you imagine thinking about it now with what knowledge of the law you have now, how much you would have made?
I could
just
have.
That's assault, dude.
I still have an Altoids tin from when I worked at Home Depot
uh-huh.
that some lady was screaming at me about something, and she called me a liar, and over again called me a liar, which ended up she had misunderstood things that were said and whatnot, because, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
And I may not have been as clear as I could have been, but I didn't lie. I just wasn't necessarily as clear as I could have been on the situation. But one of my coworkers thought it was funny to print out with one of those little, you know, those printing label machines.
Right.
Printed out a thing that says, James is a liar, and stuck it to my Altoids tin. And I still have that Altoids tin from back then.
With the ticker tag on it?
That says, James is a liar.
That's awesome.
Just because it was kind of a reminder of an interesting customer experience at one point.
Well, it's also it turns it into a running joke, though.
It does.
You got to look back at something like that and laugh.
It
otherwise,
does.
It's just going to make you miserable.
And that's the thing is, I've been on the receiving end of that so many times that I don't want these workers who are just doing what they can. Some of them are doing a crappy job, but fine. I'm not going to call them out on it because whatever. The thing is,
well, it's not so much about that. Some I tend to find in more than one situation is a lot of these workers tend to be like. Okay,
they're
all
under,
of these
they're
workers,
undertrained.
The turnover rate's ridiculous. Well, you're going to meet somebody new at it most of the time.
There are some situations where that is the situation, and you can kind of tell, especially if you've had experience. There are other situations where the person's just kind of an ass, and they just keep their ass thing going. But I'm still not going to call them out about it, because some people are just asses. No matter what, they're just asses.
Yep, absolutely.
And there's no point in calling them out, because if they're an ass, they're not going to care. You're just going to be the asshole customer treating mm-hmm. them like crap mm-hmm. for the day. And so it's not worth your time and effort. But I have found that every time I've been nice to people, the nicer I've been, the better I've been. I do get the things that I want typically. I get it easier. And I can't even walk through certain stores without workers stopping me and saying hi and asking how things are going, because I've built the good relationship and the good rapport with the people that, you know, if they can help me out with things, they're gonna help me out with things because I'm courteous and polite about it. That's coming from my personal experience. But the thing is, I don't think that that's a generational connection.
Right.
I literally think it comes down to people and how they interpret their experience. There are many millennials who are going to come out of this kind of workforce. Maybe they find there are many of them that still, they may work in customer service at the moment,
uh-huh.
but when they become a customer, they feel like I'm a customer now. I'm the one who gets to be entitled now because I have to deal with the entitled people all the time. I believe that this does exist, and I believe that it's a person-by-person basis. I don't think this is a generational difference.
Right.
I think this is a person-by-person basis. Some people feel that they can and it's kind of a tit-for-tat thing. Well, they get to be demanding and entitled when they're the customer, so why don't I get to be when I get to be the customer?
Okay.
Why do I have to be any different? I think that's more of a person-by-person basis, and I think part of it comes from it's not – while it may be inspired by some of the generational differences, I think until we start having a full cultural shift mm-hmm. of not having that thought frame of like, you get to be, so why don't I get to be? I that's why I say it's a couple generations off before we can have that kind of a change.
Okay, so I have a question. What is the – now, I'm not saying necessarily will those experiences never happen or how little will they happen – but how big do you think is the ratio of those people that tend to be entitled as opposed to those people that have had that experience? Like me, you and I both, you even had I would consider you to have a light experience in retail
in
just because
yeah.
of the amount in comparison to what I've done.
Well,
in comparison to the experience that I've had.
The Home Depot experience was a total different thing. I can tell you right now.
You're dealing with a completely different generation of people than I'm dealing with.
True, because the majority of people I was dealing with at Home Depot were people that were more in the boomer generation.
Yeah, totally.
And I can tell you I can tell you for certain the worst people I ever had to deal with at Home Depot, mm-hmm. contractors. Those guys were complete assholes
all
the time.
That makes sense. Yeah,
But I was mainly dealing with especially when I was doing it, I was doing it in my 20s. And I can say during that time, the majority of people, these were people that were homeowners, and they were in the older generation, older Gen X and boomers, nothing younger than that. You wouldn't be having the young Gen Xers and no millennials coming in because they didn't own anything. They didn't own a house. They didn't have a reason to do anything.
All right. That actually works itself into my next point. All right. So the first thing is, I'm curious. Obviously, I think the ratio is going to go down of those people that exist because they've had the retail experience. That's one. Point two is the fact that because of that, because you've had most of these people that have not had enough money to even own a house or even work within a sense of entitlement at all. I personally think about it, man. Most of these people have had The understanding that what the retail culture is.
Yes.
So they're not going to be, they're not going to want to turn around, or many of these people may not want to turn around and go, I know the jerks that I've dealt with in these experiences. Why would I want to be that? Especially causing that kind of problem, because you know how it holds things up. You know how inconvenient it is for literally everyone around you, including other customers and the workers themselves, causing these problems, yeah, unless there is a major issue. And there has to be a major one for me to lose my stuff.
And I agree with you.
But there's also the online warehouse market you have to consider, because then at that point you can come in and ask people questions, or you can go online and Google it.
Yeah.
And remember, this generation of people knows that. They know they've got an encyclopedia in their pocket. They know they've got that thing that can allow them to order whatever and wait for a day or two. They've also got another edge on top of the previous generation. Thrift culture. These people never had credit. They know what it's like to search for something for cheap and see the value in something that's not so damned expensive.
No, and I agree with you on all those points.
Especially brand new. They're not trying to, like, most of these people that I know aren't worried about establishing credit because they're too busy just trying to find food. They're too busy trying to stay in their apartment.
Yeah.
Screw Rob and Peter to pay Paul in order to pay off your credit card debt from one end to another and play in that game. Forget that, dude. If you don't need to own a house, that's fine. So that means that also that you don't necessarily need to go get the new big thing that requires the financing, that requires all of that.
No, I get you.
That gets there. So the question comes down to me is, the question for me is, will this culture, this is more a kind of like a bit of a hypothesis that I have on the situation. I see the culture dissolving on the Black Friday craziness a lot faster than taking two or three or four generations to happen.
Which I understand. I think it's based on your, I would say that your outlook is more hopeful than mine, and that you're more hopeful that the and this actually, this is funny because it stems from the fact that as a Zennial, you identify more with the millennials.
Yes.
And I would identify a little bit more with Gen Xers.
Yeah.
You're more hopeful.
I see where you're going.
You're more
cool.
hopeful
yeah,
that
please.
this idea would happen sooner. And I am definitely more cynical that I think it's going to take more time than what you think it is.
I would love
for it to happen within the time frame that you are hoping for it to happen within.
Right.
I just don't think it will. I think it's going to take a little bit longer than that.
Well, okay. So my outcome is slightly bittersweet.
I agree that it will change eventually.
Yeah.
That we will see a shift in it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it's so ingrained and mm-hmm. has been for so long, and there are still people within the younger Gen Xers, within the Zennials, within the older millennials that have seen so much of that and are still. They still exist within that entitlement mentality in that way
mm-hmm.
that I think even despite their experiences, they still act that way
because
mm-hmm. I've seen it. I've worked with those people before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's why it'll take just a little bit longer. I believe it will go the wayside eventually, mm-hmm. but it's going to take a little more time. And so we're both agreeing in the same end.
Yeah.
We're kind of disagreeing on when. And that's the big difference.
Well, I have another
thing. That's the only real difference.
I have another thing that kind of backs it up. Like that, here's the thing, man. I feel like the retail market that I am employed in at the moment mm-hmm. is dying.
Yeah.
I think it's starting to go like you can order your own groceries.
Yeah.
And charge your car at home.
Well, I think the key is going to come down to
what I mean by that is it's only half of what it is. What I mean by that is the consumer market doesn't like to go out and deal with people.
Well, and the thing is,
especially when you've got things like this that happen around the holidays.
The
man.
Thing is, as the shift is happening, and you're starting to see it again.
Yeah.
The change in the Black Friday times, and then the fact that. Half of the stuff on the we'll use Walmart again as the example. Half the stuff that's on the Black Friday Walmart ad that's set up for 5 o'clock at night on Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah.
Half of it you could order on Saturday night at 9 o'clock at night, and you'll have it by Wednesday.
Yeah,
that's when it gets shipped to you, or you can pick it up at the store on Wednesday because that's when it arrives at the store.
Yeah,
but half of the stuff was already available for you to order at that time.
Yeah.
Again.
At that price, half, too. You're just getting it delivered a few days late.
Half of the stuff from...
And not even that. Sometimes beating Black Friday to have it in your hands.
Half of the stuff that was on the GameStop ad, half the stuff that was on the Target ad, the Kohl's ad, all of these were able to be bought days earlier and then just
arrived. I was just looking at Amazon literally earlier this morning before you showed up.
And the thing is, the shift is coming.
Yeah.
But as long as we have... We still have... I'd say... 20 to 30 years of people that are still going to try to hold on to as much of the brick and mortar stuff as they can, hold on to as much of these experiences in person as they can. And part of it is the cultural tradition and wanting to keep the traditions alive for it. The other part of it is just the stubbornness to not give in to the new and to the change. That's why I say it's going to take a little more time than what you may project it to take. And hey, I can
understand that.
If it happens in your timeline, happier for me. If it happens in your timeline, happier for me. But I just I think there's going to be too many people that will hold on to. I mean, even me.
It just depends on how strong they stick around, I guess. Right?
I can say right now. I can say. Specifically right now, I've been checking the Walmart ad every single day. There's again the one toy item I mentioned earlier that I want to get for my kid. I can tell you right now, the other stuff I'm getting, I can order online. All the other stuff that I'm picking up that day, I can order online right now.
Dude,
the only thing I can't order online right now is the one toy item that I am specifically going on Thursday night, because all the other stuff I could go Friday morning.
Yeah.
And be perfectly fine with. This one specific toy item, I'm worried because of how awesome an item it is and how awesome the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that there might not be enough. And they've done this item on previous years, and it's sold out pretty quickly. So that's why I want to go and get this item. If I could order that item online, I would order all of it online and not go to the store. And this is the first year that I can say I would do that, because previously I would want to go to the store and make sure I had my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first year I could say I would order it online. And pick it up later, have it delivered to me later, whatever was needed, and feel okay doing that.
It's really funny.
And so, somebody like me who is, you know, in comparison between the two of us, I'm definitely technologically impaired compared to you. I'm definitely a lot slower about doing stuff that has to do with technology, ordering things online, being involved in things online, period. It's something I'm not nearly as comfortable with as what you are.
Yeah.
Based on our previous experiences, our lives, or whatever. And so for me to be saying that, for my sister-in-law and her husband who live in Texas, who are hopefully listening. Hi, Gabe. Hi, Rachel. I was literally messaging them and ordered their gifts on eBay while I was messaging them and finding out what kind of stuff to get them. I was like, okay, I bought your gifts. You're good. And I was like, oh, all right. Now, for them, that was just no big deal, because they do that every year.
Yeah.
Because they're younger. They're full in the millennial age group.
Yeah.
For me, it was like a weird thing. I felt all special and cool. I had to show off to my wife. Look, I just ordered their gifts. They're done. It's all taken care of. And she was just kind of like, oh, cool. All right. Which let me down a little bit, because I felt like I had a big accomplishment. But for somebody in the millennial generation, even for somebody like you who as a zennial trends more millennial, that's like, I do that all the time.
Well, yeah, but
and that's the thing is the shift is happening, but you have people that are in our Zennial group. Yep. You have people that are in some of the upper echelons of the upper ages of the millennial group that still cling to that idea that we need to go and get these things physically. We need to have them. They are slowly shifting away, but it takes time because it's to many of us it's a new frontier. And we have to feel like we can be as secure as literally putting our hands on stuff and being able to get it. I mean, the Amazon ordering and where you can order something and you have it the very next day.
Yep.
This last year, I've been doing some of those items. My wife and I have been doing some of those items. And it's just been really weird to have you order something and it come the next day to you. And
you'd have to wait, dude. 10 years ago, you'd have to wait 2 to 3 weeks.
And moreover, you get a text message or an email with the picture of your front porch with the box put where they put it on your front porch, so that you can go out and grab it. And it's like, okay, this is a thing. It's for many in our generation, especially the generations older than us, it's still, for many of them, something they can't fully buy into because it's not what we were raised to do. It's not what we feel comfortable doing. And it's the shift will come. It just is, like I said, I think it's going to take a little more time because you're going to have people like me who, luckily, I'm starting to trend that way. Mm-hmm. But you, if you had asked me 2 years ago, I'd be the holdout.
See, check this out.
And I'd be the stubborn holdout that would say, I'm never going to do that kind of stuff. Amazon's got a one-day delivery. Pff, it ain't going to work. Well, I'm not going to get my stuff.
Here's where this is going to go, okay? Here's where this is going to go. This is my prediction for both of us probably about 15, 20 years from now, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to be doing Thanksgiving. We're going to be hanging out at, you know,
well,
I happen to be hosting this year.
If you're doing Thanksgiving with me, you're having it at my house because I'm making the turkey. Because I love you, man. I don't care how.
Unless
you learn to cook my turkey my way, I ain't eating your turkey.
Oh,
sorry.
That's fine. I ain't talking about the turkey though. Here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna be done.
Yeah.
With our turkey, we're gonna have our pie.
Yeah.
We're gonna be sitting watching football.
Wait, what kind of pie?
I'm a pumpkin pie guy, but I like
pumpkin pie.
I could also see like the Dutch apple pie.
There's only three pies that should be served on Thanksgiving: pumpkin, apple, pecan.
Yeah.
That's it. No other ones need to be served. But anyway, go on.
I got to agree. Okay.
So watching our football. I like football.
We're watching football. Okay.
Are we winning?
Of course we're winning.
I'm just trying to set the scenario properly in my head.
Of course we're winning. All right. Here's what's going to happen. All right.
Yeah.
Kids, grandkids at the house, whatever. Right. Chilling out, hanging out on the couch.
Yeah.
And at the time where it, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock hits. Okay. You're going to have to, let's say that you may have needed to, at this time, have to get up and leave because you had to go to the store. You know what we're going to do?
What?
You're going to have your beer or rum or whatever. I'm going to have my whiskey. Okay? We're going to bust out our phones while we're watching football. We're going to order all that crap without having to leave the couch.
Yo, why the duck do you get the whiskey and I have to have the beer or the rum?
Duck. I don't know.
Give me the whiskey too, damn
okay.
it.
Okay, all right. Whiskey kind, it is. I don't know. I'm not full on.
Moving on. So we're going to be ordering from
bust out our phones, and you know what? It's going to be like a shopping party where you, me, our wives, kids maybe, who knows, are all getting together and going, hey, I've got this thing. Check out this website here. Go ahead and order that. Like,
it's not
going
to be phones,
bro. It's going to be right there.
It's not going to be phones.
What's it going to be?
It's going to be our ocular implants, and we're literally going to be able to like, hey, I'm going to send this to
you're telling me you're not seeing retail culture like shift from people like bashing each other in for the Tickle Me Elmo in 20 years, but you're going to see ocular implants that allow you to shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Believable, pal.
I'm just saying.
Whose future is brighter
and
now?
And here's the thing. Those who have the ocular implants and be able to do all the shopping that way,
right,
and just be able to, with eye movements, go through the different things and select the different things and have it ordered. And then, like, I don't know, you can, like, touch here, you know, touch to your temple and, like, touch somebody else's temple and send them the picture and what you're doing. It'd be great. But here's the deal.
Did you ever see that meme where somebody was like, if you touch your temple and your taint at the same time, your brain takes a screenshot?
Anyway.
He did it. He actually just physically did it.
Not really, but I was miming it. But anyway, I did the temple touch. I didn't do the other one. But anyway, there'll be those that have these whatever the new technology is to be able to make us shop that way and do those things that way. There'll be those that have it. There'll be those from our generation. There'll even be some of the, you know, 90-year-old Gen Xers that'll have it. But there will still be those holdouts that will search for the last remaining shopping centers, the last remaining stores to get their stuff.
90-year-old Gen Xers.
Yeah.
Man, think about it. Isn't that nuts? Ah, that's weird.
That is scary. I mean, and that's the thing is, there's still going to be those people. There's still going to be the ones that, and they'll be, the. And what will probably end up happening is with the kids that would be our grandkids' ages, or even our great-grandkids' ages, they're going to create some kind of a revival in stores, brick-and-mortar stores, so that they can do it like the old days. Go shopping like the old days.
Yeah, totally.
And it'll be a thing where they will, you know, with their ocular implants, they'll take video of themselves shopping at the old store and using paper money. We got paper money to use so we could pay for our stuff. Look, we got to pick out our own apples. And they'll post it on whatever
version
of YouTube
exists.
Dude,
if we got ocular implants, then your bank account is kept by retinal scan at that point.
Yeah. Wouldn't you expect that?
I would. Well.
But yeah, so... Who knows? the changing culture is coming.
Yeah.
But I, again, we'll just see how long it takes.
Yeah.
So you, sir, get to enjoy your Black Thursday and Black Friday probably. Well, your Black Thursday.
We don't get Black Thursday. Yeah. Black Thursday where I work does not happen.
So you get to enjoy that at home with your family and your hosting of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So great for that. And then you get to have the pain and torture of Black Friday, I'm sure, being there for hours on end.
Indeed.
I will be shopping for a short time on Black Thursday after I enjoy my Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And then the morning of Black Friday, I'll go out and buy groceries because I'll need groceries by that point.
Yep.
Because that's normally on Friday mornings I go out and buy groceries. That's just what I do.
Makes sense.
So I will deal with that as I need to. And the rest of my Black Friday will just be sitting back and enjoying.
Yep.
So for everybody else, if you're listening to this on your Black Friday trips, enjoy, be safe, don't get any fights.
Yeah.
And hopefully you find some good deals. And maybe one day, you won't have to do this.
With your ocular implants.
Yes, your ocular implants can order everything. Oh my God, I can see one major problem with that.
You see a thing and then it just orders it for you? What if it freaks out?
No, what I'm thinking, well, gosh, there's the fact, what if you have seizures and your eyes start going off funny? I was thinking though, this is a whole different version of like, you know how people get drunk and they order stuff on Amazon? Now imagine being able to do that with ocular implants.
Imagine
what would happen if you're drunk at that point. And yeah,
maybe ocular implants are just a bad idea, James.
It may be. Who knows? Although I'm saying right now, this is on record. We're recording this. This will be in existence for as long as YouTube is in existence. If it happens, idea. I came up with it.
Okay.
Ocular implants for being able to order stuff. I came up with the thoughts of it. I'm sure somebody else came up with it first, but I'm still claiming it. Damn it. That square donuts. And I think there was another one. Oh yes. Bullet time. I thought of that.
You didn't think of Bolt Time?
Before The Matrix came out, I did.
You didn't think of Bolt Time.
I didn't think of it before the Wachowskis thought of it, because obviously they made The Matrix like 2 years before it came out. But right. Like a year before The Matrix came out, I thought about Bullet Time.
Interesting.
I discussed it with somebody, with our tech guy, the website guy, Rob.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I discussed it with him. He can say I had the discussion with him.
Shout out to Rob.
Yes. Shout out to Rob. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
So, thanks. Mike, speaking of Rob and the website... Where can people listen to this podcast?
You can find us at thezennialchronicles.com, or if you don't want to type that much, zencron.com.
Or just bookmark it.
What? Say what? No.
Or bookmark it.
You could bookmark it.
Yes.
XENCHRON. Thanks for breaking it, man.
Sorry.
Jeez. Zencron.com, XENCHRON. Speaking of Zencron, you could find us on Facebook, at Twitter, at Zencron. You could also listen to us, podcasts,
yes.
TuneIn, Google Play, Spotify, yes. All that stuff, or Google Podcast, not Google Play anymore. Google Podcast. Yep. Got to get a separate app now. You can also catch all of our podcasts, our entire archive on YouTube.
Every single one.
Yep. And if you're hearing us on YouTube right now, hit subscribe and hit that bell icon and shoot a like at the video as well.
Please do. And also, share some of your Black Friday experiences.
Please do.
That could be fun to read. Be fun comments. So that when people come and watch, you know, they go to YouTube to listen to us.
Yeah.
I mean, they can watch the cool little icon thing you got going on, the little sound meter thing you got going on.
Yeah.
While they're watching that, they can maybe read the comments that other people say about Black Friday.
Yeah.
And then make more comments. And we can have a discussion about Black Friday on YouTube. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can do that on Facebook too.
Sure, we can do that on Facebook.
Tweet us at at us. Is that what that is now?
I don't know that one, man.
We're starting to get old.
Yeah, the Twitter thing. I'm still trying to figure out because I'm old and broke down and technologically inferior. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Have a great day.
Enjoy.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.